to the Say More podcast. Say More is a place where Young Life leadership can learn from each other and stay informed about what matters most to them and the communities they lead. As part of a global organization, effective communication is not only useful, but essential for us to be effective leaders and know our roles as we do our parts to grow Young Life in our communities and help shape its future. This episode of the Say More podcast is broken up into three parts. First, we'll hear an excerpt from a conversation with some financial partners as Dan Jessup and Steve Larmy share the strategy for the field outside of the U.S. In part two, Lauren Bocci leads a short interview where we'll hear the heart behind Known outside of the U.S. In a special bonus part three, we'll hear from one of our African vice presidents as he shares what he's excited about for Known and provides us with a special charge for the next 7 years.
So the big picture, imagine this date, the year 2030, 80,000 volunteer leaders, 440,000 kids in weekly discipleship learning about how to follow Jesus, 550,000 kids a year going to a Young Life camp and maybe hearing about Jesus for the first time, 1.1 million kids going to a Young Life club meeting every week and experiencing this community that Jesus creates. And over 5.5 million kids known by name by a Young Life leader who wants them to know that they're known by the Creator. We feel like the Lord is giving us an opportunity to grow our current work in international Young Life outside the United States between 3 and 9 times between now and 2030. How will we do this? We'll segment, we'll prioritize, we'll help, accelerate, and we'll evaluate. We actually have a geographic strategy that directs where we will be working and directs how we'll allocate resources in those places. And I'll tell you about our geographic strategy. And we have an operational strategy that directs how we will show up in these places and accomplish the things we're talking about. And Dan will share that. So our geographic strategy, segmentation, we now have a new framework to set our strategic priorities across the world. It's our five-box framework. It's a strategic investment framework. Every country where we have work has been evaluated and placed into one of five boxes. Box one countries. These are our countries positioned for growth and additional ministry, especially if we can get resources to them. Most of our growth in the next 10 years will come from these box one countries. Our box three countries, these are countries that we feel like have potential for substantial growth, but for some reason or another are stuck. And we want to diagnose them and come up with a plan to help get them unstuck and move them to a box one to help them. The box one countries, we want to add resources to accelerate them. Our box four countries are good, solid ministries, but with little growth potential we want to sustain. And our box five countries are countries where current ministry is challenged, maybe with leadership or political situation, and we're going to evaluate whether we even should be supporting or keeping that ministry online. Our box two countries are our prioritization countries. We have identified two countries and one city that we feel like warrant the prioritization of our resources. They're either large in themselves with tremendous opportunity to reach kids, or they are strategic around the world. And we've identified India and Mexico, as well as London, as places we want to invest in because we think we have a lot of opportunity to grow. So segmentation, acceleration in the box one country, prioritization box two, helping in box three, evaluating in box five, and a constant learning and moving from one box to the next. That's our geographic strategy overview. I'm going to turn it to Dan now as he'll focus on our operational strategy.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate that. Just a reminder, Young Life International is divided into five global divisions outside the United States. One of them is Latin America and the Caribbean. You can see Mexico and South America. One of them is Africa in the Middle East, right center place. One of them is Europe, the greater European venue from Sweden, Spain, all the way over to Italy. One of them is the former Soviet Union, called Middle Eurasia at this point, which would be the former Soviet Union states, countries. And then the other one, would be Asia Pacific. So we think in five divisional groups. They all have senior vice presidents. They all have national leadership at the local level. And then they're all in strategically different places. Imagine just thinking about Young Life in Latin America and the Caribbean versus Young Life in the MEA, the Middle Eurasia right now, where there's a war going on between Ukraine and Russia, two of our largest and most successful ministries historically in that part of the world. So as you think about a global strategy, this is Steve's and my job, is to begin thinking about, well, what can we set at a high, high level that will have impact, and then take these strategies down to the divisions, and the divisions take them down to regions, and the regions take them down to areas, and then they roll back up in a continual loop of feedback to develop their strategy. So at the highest level, we have four, and I want to walk you through just a few of the items on here. The first one is evangelistic discipleship. This is actually quite insightful, because Young Life is at the very core an evangelism ministry. Do we still go out and tell kids the good news about Jesus? Answer is absolutely. But our focus in leadership is on disciples. Disciples who are grown up into Jesus, who then share the gospel with non-believers, who then disciple those non-believers, who then become leaders. And so someone could say, is Young Life a disciple ministry or an evangelistic ministry? The answer is yes. That's what we do. You can't separate this feedback loop of disciples making disciples. Okay. The one thing that I want to highlight in here that Steve already has highlighted is what we call box one. These are countries where we have excellent leadership in place and we have an excellent infrastructure, and we believe that they are poised to grow specifically if we can get fiscal resources to them. Our greatest, quickest, call them fast ships, growth level will be in these box one countries. These are the ones that that Steve highlighted. We know we have great leadership in place. We've got good track record in place, and they need resources enabled to grow. So what we've done is identified all of those box one countries. We've come up with budgets, accelerated growth budgets, and the MLT has already funded up a good number of these already this year, and we're reporting on an ongoing basis how that accelerate country box one strategy is going. This is new for us. We've never taken outside money on a specific mission-wide level and infused local ministry with it. We've done that for initiatives, but not when it comes to direct field ministry to this level. So this is a new pivot that we're making, and we're very excited about it. You can see the next kingdom leadership. Again, this is how do we develop spiritual, godly men and women around the world. The number one strategy that you'll see, the first little bullet point, is what we're calling the I-100 or the International 100. I'll simply highlight this point. We need to focus on our top-level senior leadership. Make sure that they're healthy, make sure they're in love with Jesus, healthy families, and are qualified and capable to get after the next kid around the world. So we've developed a program, 5-year training experience, staff development experience with an annual event. Some of you have heard we started the first annual event in Nairobi this last year. We've got another one coming up in London this coming year. But then an ongoing cross-divisional cohort training. Very exciting what's happening in the international world with this group of non-American staff being pulled together and accelerated in their leadership. Kingdom leadership, a new strategy for us. Culture of belonging, and we have deep issues of complexity when it comes to, does everybody feel like they belong in this mission? Is it really for them? Or is it really an American organization? Are we really a global entity? I mean, we have challenges with cultures all over the world, as you might expect, very complicated. So I'll sign with staff, country, and continental sponsors. We need to let people know that this mission sees them and cares for them, and funding them up so that they're freed up, as Chad Wiley are trying to do with hard to fund places in the United States, that they're freed up to get after ministry. This is an infusion of fiscal resources around the world so our staff can focus and feel like they're connected, like we don't have the haves and the have-nots. Very important what we do with our fiscal resources. And then a volunteer movement. The engine to the mission around the globe is the volunteer. We have to rethink our systems because they're primarily designed for our full-time staff. But we have almost 60% volunteer-run clubs around the world. But we have systems developed for staff. So how do we keep morphing our systems to make them very volunteer-friendly? We've been working hard at this the last couple of years. You'll notice two initiatives there that are critical, Young Life Universities and Global Cities. I'll talk specifically about university for a second. You go, where does the workforce come from? What's your strategy? You're a volunteer movement, but what is your strategy to raise up volunteers? For Steve and me around the world, universities is one of the great open harvest fields globally. Think of the University of Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic, 160,000 people enrolled in just that one university, college-age kids. If we're not in the world of college specifically around the globe, we're really missing an opportunity to raise up a whole host of disciples who make disciples, but also a workflow to be able to get after the next kid.
Map tree list, the plutonium in the reactor of our nuclear growth over the last 15 years in international. And we've grown 20 times in campaigners and 12 times in kids to club. MapTree and Lyft are three separate tools birthed from our work around the world, and each of those individually are really effective. But we found when these three are coupled together, it becomes a powerful, what we call core operating mechanism that we think we can build upon to reach this 9x growth or more around the world. Map. Simply, it's the map for every leader, every volunteer leader or staff person of the geography where they do ministry, where we have existing ministry, where the next kid is, the next high school or junior high or neighborhood or town. And if from this map, it becomes a source of vision and prayer and direction for our planning and even budgeting. The tree, the leadership tree, is a simple visual representation of disciples, making disciples, making disciples. The leader at the trunk with three branches, three people that she or he are investing in deeply, who then invest in three that invest in three, that give us deeply rooted leaders and a geometric growth in leadership to fuel all of these pillars. And the list. The list is Matthew 9:36-38 list, praying to the Lord of the harvest. And it becomes the heart of our ministry and our praying. So the map tree list, why is this important? Because this really is what fuels all four of the pillars that we're talking about. And when we've seen places where these three have been used together, like in Nicaragua and Haiti and parts of Africa, we've seen a powerful result. The reality is we've barely begun to implement these well. We don't do it comprehensively or consistently. And we think if we can more deeply and consistently use the map tree and list, we're going to unstick those box three countries. We're going to grow these prioritized countries, and we're going to accelerate, just put gasoline on a hot, hot fire in these accelerate countries. We'll get deeply rooted leaders, each of them, empowered to be a recruiter, a trainer, a discipler, a ministry planter, a real leader in a volunteer movement that spreads across the globe.
What makes you excited about where the Lord has Young Life? I loved how you touched on kind of culture and preserving that culture, but specific to now, specific to known, what are you excited about for kind of both international and the mission at large?
If we could get anywhere near that really happening, that's going to be so powerful, so impactful. It's going to be beyond anything we've ever experienced or hoped for or imagined. And I'm thinking around the world, if we scratch the surface of this by 2030, we could have 1.5 million, up to 2 million plus kids from outside the U.S. attending a Young Life club or ministry every week. I mean, we did the whole RWOC 75 years of Young Life to get to 1 million kids impacted. And by 2030, outside the U.S., we could have over 2 million come to the club. You know, how many known by name around the world? Millions, as well as what's happening in the U.S. I just think that the Lord is doing amazing things in the world, and He's positioned us in Young Life to be a key player in this. We have an opportunity just to ride this wave that's beginning to happen and to position. So I'm excited to see Young Life on that wave as the kingdom of God advances across the globe.
Well, I'm excited for Young Life in the United States of America to feel like the Lord is leading this mission, like this invigorating whatever fire exists, double it and triple it, like that the Lord would just fan those flames for our brothers and sisters in the U.S. and get them going. I think for us globally, our global mission is pretty young. And we've had some Young Life around the world for you know, up to 65 years or so, but the bulk of it's pretty fresh and pretty new. Maybe one of the things that has a bunch of us super excited is the senior top level leadership development. So that day is coming sooner than later, that someone that sits at Steve or my job or Newt's job or anywhere else won't be from the United States, but will be from outside the country. So we're accelerating tremendous amount of resources and energy towards our senior global staff. We call it the I-100 or the International 100. That's meant to accelerate our global staff. So we punted a number of years ago from being a mission sending organization where we're sending Americans around the world. That's just not what we're doing. We're raising up national leadership at every level around the world. And that ownership and that pride factor and that beauty factor, that's even backfilling back into the U.S. in some beautiful way. But there will come a day sooner than later that the senior level of leadership that meets together is going to be from, as Steve said, every tongue, tribe, and nation around the world. And that brings joy to my soul. Because the Spirit, that's the kingdom of God, the picture of Revelation kingdom that is spoken about in our scriptures. It's like that's coming true before our very eyes. So we really are in the book of Acts. It hasn't ended. It's just continuing. And the Lord is using us to be able to continue the movement of the Spirit in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Lauren, to follow up on that, one more thing I'm really excited about in our mission, and I think it's going to really come to pass in known, but obviously the Holy Spirit has always been leading us in Young Life. But me personally, it's my beginning. I sense a move of the Holy Spirit in our mission in new ways. The way I hear staff, people, friends in the U.S., around the world, talking about the Holy Spirit, this muscle of really listening well to the written word, but also just hearing the word of God, and how I see that impacting the stories that I'm hearing. I feel like we're on the edge of a new way of a mission interacting with the Holy Spirit and joining with the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's doing around the world. I that maybe more than anything, is what I'm most excited about in what I see around the mission in the world. And I do think a lot of our sisters and brothers around the world are helping us to lean into that in a way we never have before.
Let's hear from James Kamau with Africa West about what he's excited about and praying for in this next season.
My name is James Ngai Kamau, and I am the Vice President for Africa West. What really makes me excited about the Known campaign or the Known movement, or anyhow you would want to call it, is that me as James Ngai Kamau, I am known by the Lord, and I have a responsibility to help my leaders also get known by the Lord. Then from there, we as a team, we have also an obligation to make sure that as many kids as possible are known to the Lord. So first and foremost, I need to ask myself, James, are you well known by the Lord? James, how are you helping leaders who are under you get known by the Lord? And also, how are these leaders helping kids be known by the Lord? For some reason, I think that the Known campaign is something that we have been doing because we have been reaching out to kids and helping them know Jesus Christ. And when they get to have a relation with the Lord, then we help them grow in their faith. All this is about making them known by the Lord. And what really, really I would pray about is to make sure that we have as many volunteer leaders up as possible who are known by the Lord. They love their faith. They love reaching out to the kids so that in turn they can be able to reach out to as many kids as possible. The more we have volunteer leaders, the better for us as a mission. Because when we have a lot of volunteer leaders, when we have enough volunteer leaders, then as a mission, we will be reaching out to so many kids in our communities, be it in high schools, be it in the villages, in the colleges, all over the globe, not only in African Middle East, not only the international, but in the entire geography. Sometimes I also feel like St. Paul did the same thing. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. What was he saying? He was saying that he knows Christ and he wants his disciples or his followers also to know Christ. So this is like, even though we've taken it as a campaign for the next 7 years, it is biblical, it is there, and we have a responsibility to make sure that we are fulfilling this mission of known. The other thing that I want to say is, me as a vice president or me as a leader, I need to understand the known concept. Then I interpret it in the best way that my leaders are going to understand it. Then for them to run with it to the places that they are doing their mission. So my brothers and sisters, I want to invite you into this 7 years campaign of known. Let us pray that the Lord is going to give us as many volunteer leaders as possible who are going to commit themselves to Christ so that they can be able to introduce kids to Christ. If they are known by Christ and they introduce these kids to Christ, definitely our mission will be fulfilled. Thank you so much, and God bless you. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our guests today, and we're excited to share more about Known on the next episode of Say More.